Hey everyone, welcome to the Step 6 and 7 Willingness and Humility meeting. My name is Reva and I'm a compulsive overeater and your speaker for this meeting.
Hi, Reva.
Please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Before we get started, we ask that all cell phones or other electronic devices be turned off to protect anonymity. No photography, audio, or visual recording is allowed except as recorded by the committee. Please be aware that if you are speaking or sharing and say your first name, your voice will be audible on the recording and you must sign a release up on the table after the meeting. The opinions expressed here today are those of an individual OA member and do not represent Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. Would someone please read the 12 steps? Oh, before I go, would someone please be a timer? Thank you.
I don't think your microphone's
on. You know what? Why do you say that?
Because I don't hear anything.
There's no feedback.
Oh.
It's only, yeah. Would someone please read the 12 steps of OA? Thank you. The format for this 55-minute meeting is as follows. I will share for 10 to 15 minutes on the topic, followed by open sharing. Again, the topic for the session is Step 6 and 7, Willingness and Humility, and I'm now going to share my experience, strength, and hope. So, 10 and 5 is fine. I'm Reva. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you. I'm so honored to be here, and I'm very grateful to be here. That's okay. When I became absent, which was December 21st, 2003, it wasn't long after that I came to my first birthday party, and this birthday party really was a very big turning point in my recovery. But I will tell you that 2003 was not the first time that I came to OA. So I'm just going to quickly qualify that I came to OA in 1974. So I was 15 years old, and I came with my mother and my sister, all of which were compulsive overeaters. And I thought everybody was crazy, and I never came back. And then I came back in the 80s. And between 70 and 80 was kind of all that self-help, you know, time, and I did all of that while the disease was in full throttle. And then in the 80s, I came back to OA, and I got involved in OA, and I got involved in a relationship, and I got involved in how, and it was a very short-lived period. I gained and lost 100 pounds and left and continued my work to try to figure out how to stop this disease. And from about the late 80s to 2003, there wasn't anything I didn't try. There was no amount of money that I wouldn't spend. I tried drugs. I tried psychiatrists, eating disorder, greens, spas, behavior modification. I mean, there was nothing. Weight Watchers many times. Became a Weight Watchers leader only to the weekend that I was to have my training, binge, and gain 15 pounds that weekend, not able to become what I thought was my dream. So really tried everything, always could lose weight, but absolutely never keep the weight off. My father passed away in September of 2003, and then I proceeded to gain a quick 50 between September and December, and I had reached my bottom, and I came back to OA, and I really didn't think or know how it would work, but I had really nowhere to go because I had really tried everything. So, but between September and December, I was coming to OA, and I was asking, I couldn't get absent, and everyone kept saying to me, just pray for the willingness. 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 And so I did. And I became willing to be abstinent. So that really kind of brings me to step six, which is, in my opinion, all about willingness. And step six says, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. So I learned that willingness to have God remove our defects of character is kind of the same willingness we need for our abstinence. Because we have no control over that we're powerless, and we have really no control over the fact of our character defects. We have them, and we just have to ask God to help us to get rid of those character defects. I also feel that, this is just my experience, that my abstinence was given to me. God graced me with that abstinence. I mean, I don't know why I got that. My sister was 350 pounds, and she just had the sleeve, and she couldn't get it. And it's not that she didn't want it. She wanted it. But for some reason, she couldn't get it. And I don't think it was because she wasn't in as much pain as me, because she was, because I know what she went through, because we're very, very, very close. We're basically soulmates. So I believe that I was given that grace. And I'm just very, very grateful for that. I'm sorry, I'm going to refer to my notes a little bit, so I hope you'll forgive me. One of the things that they say is saying that you're ready and being ready is entirely a different thing. I really think that's true also with abstinence. You know, saying that you want it and then really doing it is an entirely different thing. And I guess, you know, we don't know what it's going to take to get us there, but at some point we have to act as if. And it's kind of the same thing with our character defects. You know, we can't remove them, just like I can't, left to my own devices, I can't make myself abstinent. I need a power greater than myself to help me because I can't do it. And I can't rid myself of my character defects. Shortly after I came into getting into abstinence, that's 10 minutes?
10 minutes left.
Oh, okay. I went to, you know, I was willing to commit abstinence, but I didn't really understand anything, and I couldn't understand how this program worked. I was completely, the disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, but I was completely baffled by this. I couldn't understand anything. I didn't understand anything. And I went to a workshop, a big book study, and what I learned was something that really turned the corner for me, and that is that my brain is broken. That if I'm going to me to get better, I'm going to the wrong place. And it's the same formula with character defects. If I think that I'm going to be able to talk myself out of being a gossiper and a liar and a rager and a controller, I can't do that. So what they say in the sixth step is that we have to ask God to help us. And God will help us. And that's the experience that I have had, is that I have been helped. And, you know, it really just starts out with a little baby step. And that's one of the things that I have been able to do, is just make that one phone call, go to that meeting, one meal, one day. And I just want to share one experience that I had relatively new into my abstinence. I adopted a boy about 9 months to the day that I became abstinent. And it was all very, very new for me. And I remember being at the park with him, and I thought I was going to lose my mind. I had to leave, and I had to binge. I needed to go. And I was willing to leave this child with a pure stranger and just say, I left the fire on. I think I left the fire on in my house, and I just have to go. Will you just watch him? I'll be back in 15 minutes. And I was going to go do a power, like a crazy power binge. But instead, I made a phone call to a stranger, someone whose number I took, and she just brought me down. She said, can we pray together? Can you just wait 15 minutes and call me back in 15 minutes? And I just have to say that every time I have taken any action or any time that I have reached out to anyone in this program, it's like a magical experience. So that's part of how I know that left to my own devices, I can't get better. So I really just think as far as the sixth step, it's really about willingness. And then when you get to the seventh step, humbly ask them to remove our shortcomings. I think the key word is acceptance, that I can't, you can. Acceptance of our disease. And being humble. And part of the humility with our character defects and part of our humility of, I think, the eating disorder is the acceptance of it. You know, we just have to admit what we are. And for me, that was realizing that I am not normal when it comes to food. It has brought me to the depths of darkness. It did ruin my life. It didn't ruin it, but it ruined my life in so many ways. It stunted my growth. And so, you know, I have to just really recognize that I have this broken brain. It is true. It is a fact. It's just, It's my thing. You know, everybody has something, and this is my thing. And I also think that humility is a gift that God gives us. So, and I think that the disease is here to remind us to have that humility, because guess what? It never goes away. It's with us all the time, and sometimes it takes a little reprieve, but you know, I'll just share, I broke my leg on Thanksgiving. You know, for the first 6 weeks, I never had such an experience. I was cool. I couldn't really even eat that much. I mean, my appetite went down a little bit, and I had such a great attitude, and then boing, 6 weeks later, all of a sudden, man, there was, the foulness kicked in. The feeling sorry for myself kicked in. My appetite was as big as this hotel. So, I mean, it just really doesn't go away. And we really are lucky that we have this program to make it through. So, let me just see if there's anything else that I wanted to share. Well, anyways, it's been 10 years now that I've been abstinent. And I'm just really, really grateful to this program. And character defects for me are a daily thing. I mean, sometimes they go away. Sometimes they're really good. I don't gossip, you know, and I want to. It's like that, you know, wanting to binge. It's like somebody starts with me to have a conversation with it, and to shut it down, to like just not say anything is like a tiger to hold me back, because I really want to gossip. There's no question about it. I mean, I think that's my biggest character defect. So, you know, I just have to one day at a time not. And I ask God to help me. And, you know, I wake up in the morning and I have my quiet time and I ask for God to help me. And I ask him to, and I thank him for my blessings. And I feel really good in the morning. And then about 45 minutes later, when I'm in my world, it all kicks back again. So you kind of slow it back again. But I'm just really grateful to be in this program. You know, they say you come in for the vanity, but you stay for the sanity. And to be honest, I have something here that I've never had, and that's peace of mind. I can sleep at night. I don't have my brain just going like this as to what is going to be my next food and what is going to be my next diet. I'm pretty serene around that. And that's really it. So I will look forward to hearing from you, and thank you for letting me share. The meeting is now open. Go ahead.
Can I just make an announcement that anybody who shares from the podium, could they please put their signature on this form at the end of the meeting, because it's being taped.
and you might want to have that put over
here. I will. Okay. The meeting's now open for 3-minute pitches. Please focus your share on the topic and limit your sharing to 3 minutes to give others a chance to share. This meeting will end at 10 to 4.
Hi, I'm Jill. I'm a compulsive reader, 100-pounder. And I raised my hand because I didn't want to, but I'm willing to participate in my recovery today. My heart's beating out of my chest because willingness and humility. I'm willing to be honest today, and I'm willing to be vulnerable today, and I'm willing to be intimate because intimacy to me means into me I let you see. And what I don't want you to know about is what I'm going to share. So I came into these rooms at 327 pounds, and I'm going to share this with you because I'm not going to eat over it today. And it's the thoughts that I have still that come in my head after a little over 7 years of walking in these rooms. So I woke up this morning kind of excited about coming to the birthday party and put on an outfit, didn't like it. Put on another outfit, didn't like it, put on another outfit, didn't like it, and here comes the insanity of my disease. That stuff that I used to do at 327 pounds. Then I'm looking in the mirror, and an old voice, an old thought comes up, and it's my mother saying, your legs look like the size of watermelons. And I'm like, whoa, where did that come from? Again, now I have the decision to how long do I want to dwell on that thought. And in the meantime, I'm supposed to pick up my partner, and I'm late because I keep changing my clothes and changing my clothes and changing my clothes. Now my dis-ease has affected her because I'm late in picking her up and therefore late to coming to the convention today. But it doesn't stop there. I walk in, and she gets us registered, and she hands me a questionnaire to fill out, and I say, I don't want to work. I don't want to fill this effing thing out. I don't want to work. I just want to sit here. Then she hands me this badge, and I'm like, I'm not putting this lame thing on. It messes with my outfit. And here I go. Here I friggin' go. I'm off and running in self. And so, got a quiet moment, and here comes the humility part, and I don't know a damn thing. I remember hearing a speaker at one point sharing from the podium, and this is something that I always remember, and I carry this with me every day. He was talking to a new sponsee, and they were going to go through the big book, and he was talking to a sponsee, and he said, okay, I want you to write on the first page. And a sponsee, starts with the story, and he's like, no, before that. What, the preface? No, before that. What do you mean, the copyrights and the publishing dates? No, before that. And he says, well, and I'll wrap up, he says, there's an empty page here. There's nothing on this page. It's blank. And he says, exactly, that's how much you know. And I carry that around with me every day. I don't know a damn thing. And my sponsor continually reminds me to ask for the grace and gift of humility every day, because what that does is that keeps my heart open to the day's lessons. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Lena Composer-Rita. I have to share this again. I didn't want to. And one of my character defects is comparisons. Compare you to you and somebody else to somebody else. And I have to. I hope this isn't cross talk. When the previous speaker got up, I looked at her and I thought, I wished I could have an outfit like that. And I wish my legs were slim enough to be able to wear what she's wearing, and it just shows you, unless that person had been open and honest and vulnerable to share how she felt about herself, I would have put her on the pedestal. And humility is that we're equal, not that I'm higher or that I'm lower. And I always thought humility before I came to this program was being lower than other people, but humility is being one of. And the joy of this conference and myself and the person I've come with this weekend, we're from out of town, and it's wonderful actually to come to a conference where almost where nobody knows you. People don't know how much recovery you have, and you don't know other people, so you don't compare as much. And so all the time, I just keep on having to hand that over to my higher power and say, please take this away from me. Please stop me from comparing, good or bad, comparing two people, comparing myself, comparing my life to other people's. Just please take that away from me. So thank you for being so open.
The speaker and two people who shared that, because I really don't want to share either. I'm Linda, compulsive overeater. I'm learning more and more than ever that I'm having a problem with the just general life and being alive and having to work and having to breathe. I heard on podcast from a Candlelight Meeting speaker yesterday, and who looked like she has so much recovery. I mean, she used to be a junkie and go to motel and shoot the drugs while she had the babies. And now she's one of the, outstanding members of our community. And she shared that something about, having to wake up in the morning and going to work is a trouble for me. I mean, I wish I didn't have to do that. I'm like, oh, okay. Even people in recovery, people who have lost 100 pounds and got sober and got clean have a problem waking up in the morning and having to go to work. She said, oh, it's inconvenient for me. And that's how I feel. And my whole life is about my work. I worry about my clients' lives and money and business and, how many hours I have to work. When am I going to meet the deadline? It's, 99% of my waking hours is consumed over my work. And then at the same time, I'm embarrassed that I have all these degrees and have to go to work because, it just proves that I'm not one of the aristocrats. And my God, how embarrassing is it that I was not born to the aristocratic family and I have to go to work and fill out the timesheet and, sit the annual review and listen to my, boss's review of me and my performance. I mean, who the F is she? That kind of thing. And then I thought, okay, even the Queen of England has to go to work. She has to shake hands with the people she doesn't like and, members of the Tory party and what about the other party, Labour party, whatever. And it's like, she has to show up at work. We all have to participate in life. And like today, I didn't want to share. I just want to sit back and listen like it's an entertainment. So thank you so much for your share.
I'm Lisa, compulsive overeater. I too did not want to share, but I just wanted to say that I am on step six for the first time and going through the steps for the first time, and I'm really struggling with it, the procrastination, which is one of my character defects, and over-intellectualizing, which happens to be another one of my character defects, are just really... just really have got me. And so I've been on this step for like 6 months, and it kind of was just recently that I was like, oh yeah, a lot of time has gone by, and I've worked on it from time to time, but it's really difficult. It's really been more painful than I expected to really look truthfully at what is going on with me, and to I think I haven't yet gotten to the place where I feel like, it took me a while to feel like being powerless over food wasn't some moral failing of mine, even though I would hear that all the time in the rooms and read it in the literature and, hear it from my sponsor. And I feel like I feel that same way about my character defects. Obviously, if there are all these things that are no longer serving me and I still do them, I feel like that must be something that's wrong with me. So I'm really struggling, and I just wanted to kind of stand up and say that. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Donna, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi.
And I'm really grateful to be abstinent and to be here today. It's such a privilege to be here. And I just finished my sixth step, just started my seventh, and so just wanted to check in about that. I learned something at a retreat I went to last year about having a column of how does this defect serve me, how does it harm me, and then I added a column for who would I be without this. And then I also looked up in the dictionary what that word meant to me. And what, so I did that for all my character defects. And I saw some patterns around perfectionism, and that hasn't really been high on my list. Like, you know, I went to the fear session earlier, and that's been my predominant emotion. And writing my sixth step, I see, like, I have expectations is really big, and not being enough, like, always wanting more and more and more. And perfectionism, and I think those are all really the same thing, like, because I have my perfect expectation of how everything's supposed to be, how I'm supposed to be, how you're supposed to be, how this event's supposed to be, how my room's supposed to be, you know, I have that expectation, so that perfect thing is out there, and then I compare, you know, my life and things around me to that, so it's just, that was pretty enlightening, and I'm really doing my best to, you know, just go, oh, I don't have to be perfect, like 80%, maybe that's good enough for today. I picked up crocheting in the rooms, and that's really helping me. Like, you know, it's handmade. It's not going to be perfect. I made a mistake. Before program, I would have just probably ripped it all out and thrown everything away. And it's, so that's something that, you know, I crochet in the rooms, and it gives me that opportunity to practice. Just, you know, it's the action. Who cares what it looks like at the end of it? And I'm just, you know, it's such a blessing to be on the journey with all of you. Thank you so much.
Get to the 3:45 thing.
I'm Josh. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Josh.
And we're talking steps 6 and 7. And I remember the first time I worked steps 6 and 7 was when I was going to be studying abroad in Australia during my junior year of college, and I had recently gotten abstinent about it was in, you know, January, February, and I'd gotten abstinent in that June before. And for the newcomer, my top weight was 260 pounds, and June I celebrated 11 years of abstinence one day at a time, so this was about exactly 11 years ago that I was doing this, and I had a sponsor in Los Angeles where I got into program, and when I got there I was all nervous because this was before, you know, Skype and ways to be able to, you know, call him, and with the time change, there was no economic way to be able to call my current sponsor. So I got a home meeting out there, like, you know, 30-minute, you know, train ride from where I was living. That was on Saturday afternoons, and I'd go to this meeting, and I got a sponsor, which was amazing. And she took me through steps 6 and 7. And I'll never, you know, forget, you know, that service and having that, because I was so nervous going into it, you know, that was going to be, you know, when I would, you know, break my abstinence, you know, going on this big, big trip. And I had all this, you know, anxiety around it. And it was like I got there and it was like, okay, you know, you can keep moving forward. You can keep doing it one day at a time. You know, you can keep working the steps. Like, just because I was going and doing this thing for 4 months didn't mean that I had to stop working my program. And the program was there. And that was amazing. And to be here now, you know, celebrating OA's birthday 54 years later, you know, 54 years ago, someone went to a, you know, again, was an anonymous meeting and had this vision that, you know, it was the same disease, you know, with the food. And I'm just so, you know, grateful and always get emotional whenever, you know, I'm at, you know, the birthday party, you know, for that reason that it was birthed in LA and that's why we do it here, but that it's all over the world. I mean, we have people here and we have people just sharing here from all over the world and all over the country. And it's amazing. And I've been to, I went to an OA meeting in Bangkok, Thailand, and it was in English, and they were in the process of translating the OA 12 and 12 into Thai. It was amazing. So, sorry to ramble, but can't help it. So let me sign now because I have to get to the 3.5. Right.
My name is Bibi. I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm sharing because in the meeting before, in the steps 4 and 5 meeting, someone shared about doing the little things that we're fearful and that giving us courage to do the big things that we're fearful around. So I don't want to talk. I don't have anything to say. So with willingness, I'm having a lot of problems right now, a lot of anxiety and panic attacks. And I'm willing to go through it. And I don't know how, and I'm certainly really scared about it, but I am not willing to go around it, for sure, and I can't stand still. Can't stand still and not move forward, I mean. I can't stay in the unknown, what are you going to do? I have to, either ditch it and go around it, and I'm not going to live that way and be dishonest with myself, or I have to be present for it. So I have fear about the fear, anxiety about the anxiety. Like, really, I get anxious, like, oh, the anxiety's coming. So that's really, really where I'm at. I'm so grateful to see the circle of honesty and that one person shares about how they're feeling and it ripples out and another person's able to share about their honesty. And it certainly happened to me with someone else sharing about stepping up into something that feels a little fearful and maybe that building us up, building me up so I can face something that feels very big and very fearful. So thank you for letting me do that with you.
Hi, my name is Leticia, compulsive reader.
Hi, Leticia.
I didn't want to come up because I'm like, oh, you're late, blah, 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 you know, whatever. but the topic is willingness. And lately, my sponsor's been telling me, take it easy. You know, it's okay. You can always pray for more willingness. And for a while, I hadn't been wanting to really hear it. I kept hearing, like, you're not willing enough. And finally, it's coming through. It's like, and she keeps telling me, be grateful for the willingness that you have. And so I start writing on my gratitude list. I'm grateful for writing this list. You know, and I finally, after following directions, good orderly directions, I finally start to see, oh, yeah, I have more willingness today for this. And as I'm doing the things that I don't want to do, I'm finding more willingness, and I'm really saying thank you for the willingness to be here today, to drive up here today, to make this phone call today, you know, to not, rather than concentrate, because my thing is to concentrate all the things that I don't do. It's so easy for me to beat myself up. And so I'm really grateful for that, is that I'm grateful for the willingness that I have today, and I can always pray for more willingness. I'm like, wow, you mean I don't have to force it, plow through it? I'm going to get willingness. I'm going to get it. I don't have to. I can take a moment and just say, wow, God, can I have more willingness in this area if it's what you'd like for me? So that's it. Thank you.
Hi, Irene, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Irene.
You know, somebody just spoke about willingness. I didn't have the willingness to come here. I was fighting it tooth and nail. I tried to get my husband to, you know, convince me not to go, but he didn't want to do that. You know, I tried smooth talking, and that didn't work either. He said, you know, honey, I think you need to go. I think you need to go. And I said, oh, goodness, I don't want to do this. But I asked God, and I said, you know, I said, put me where you want me. Obviously, I can't do this. Obviously, I can't do this by myself. I've tried that, and that doesn't work because my way is it's kind of crazy. So I finally got the willingness today to be here and be present, which is so different from just being here. So I want to say thank you.
I would like to thank those of you who gave service at this session and all of you for sharing. After a moment of silence, please join hands to close with the surrender.